This is a People First Radio podcast.
The human brain makes 20 million billion calculations per second, but that doesn't mean it's always right. Brendan McLeod is a Canadian writer, spoken word artist, and musician. Brendan's most recent work is called Brain. It's a hilarious, heartbreaking monologue about consciousness, mental illness, and friendship that maps his experiences with obsessive-compulsive disorder from a teenager struggling to understand his obsessions to an adult battling psychosis. It's an upbeat, intense comedy that explores what it's really like to lose your mind. Brendan McLeod performed Brain in Nanaimo on Friday, November 11th, 2016. I spoke with him after his performance. What can you tell me about the process of writing this monologue?
It was interesting. I thought I was ready to tackle like a lot of the stuff about OCD, and I was, and I think. But I think it was also very difficult because writing is an obsessive behavior, and memorizing and performing is an obsessive behavior, like repeating lines until you get it. So there was a little bit of like entering back into that mental framework that I tried to avoid for a long time. But ultimately every performance is cathartic, so there's a nice payoff. But it was a little bit strenuous, I guess, the writing of it.
You touch on major points in your life, and you share what you were going through. A lot of that people can relate to, you might say. What made it so important for you to look back, pull on all of these different aspects of yourself, and then go out and share it?
I think the main impetus for it was to just have a little bit more of a nuanced personal journey through mental health. So For instance, anything that diminishes stigma with mental health is awesome. Like the Bell Let's Talk, where they hashtag kind of depression stories, you know, that reduces stigma, I think, but it also like reduces it into like almost a stereotype or a trope. And it's nice to have a more, like, if we're going to get serious as a society looking at mental health, we need to get serious about having very uncomfortable conversations, or what we deem now to be uncomfortable conversations, which, as you see in the room, are not necessarily that uncomfortable. Like, you just state the uncomfortable things in a contextual way, and then, you know, then people get it, and it's fine. But then it's like they have a bigger window of empathy into understanding what you're talking about, and not just, you know, thinking OCD is washing your hands or whatever, you know. So I worry about some of that, the mental health awareness. The more it goes, the more stereotypes there's going to be, so we kind of have to be vigilant against guarding against that kind of talk.
It's interesting you use the phrase a more nuanced approach to dealing with issues of mental health. One thing I noted, of course, was that you didn't go on and on about treatment that you might have been through, medications you may have used, counseling that you may have received. You basically focused on relationships with other people, the important aspects of your relationship with your girlfriend, your friends, and the support they gave you.
Yeah. I mean, and that's true to my life. Like, I have tried different kinds of therapy and stuff, and, you know, some of them work a little bit, and they really work for other people, but my jam is just other people. And, I think, you know, especially when I have Puro, which is like all, there's not too many physical manifestations of it. It's a lot of mental stuff. So like I talk about in the monologue, when you say it, when you talk to other people, they're like a mirror to you, you know? So if you're worried about being some kind of crazy monster, you can see in other people that they don't think the same of you. And so that's very helpful as like, you know, getting better is to just know that and to like, and see their awareness of that. So, yeah.
One of the things that I noted in some of the reading that I did, some of the comments by, I guess you might say, critics or somebody writing about this monologue as they witnessed it, that you took people safely into difficult areas or challenging areas. Was there a method in that, or did it just naturally occur that way?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just kind of natural. I mean, you know, you don't want to just, I mean, I think everyone knows you just don't want to throw them off the cliff in the first. I mean, it's one way to do it, but like in the first scene, you know, you want to be relatable, you want to be casual, you want to tell a story. Also, though, like, I wanted everyone to experience my OCD the way I experienced it, which is that I didn't know it was OCD. So I don't think I talked about OCD until like the fifth out of eight sections in that monologue. So it's really like you are dealing with the thoughts as they occur, and then the audience has to deal with them and be like, whoa, that's an uncomfortable thing to think. And then hopefully feel the same kind of anxiety, you know, that I felt, and not being able to square it with the fact that it's OCD and not being able to write it off because, you know, if you came into that monologue with no context, you wouldn't know that that was the actual reason. So that's the way I experienced it. And, yeah, I mean, it is, as far as like leading people safely in, you don't want to just, you want to bring them out of the darkness a little bit and you don't want to keep them there for too long. And, it's also just like my like approach to things is I'm not that down about life or OCD or, people, you know, you want to keep them happy and stuff at the end of the day, I guess.
Do you think the exploration of mental health issues against the backdrop or in the context of consciousness is an unusual thing? Is this something that you've seen elsewhere? I could link this to your studies in philosophy, but I'm just wondering how you kind of ended up looking at all of this as an expression of your experience with consciousness.
Yeah, well, I think it's really good to, like, it's something I always try to remember is how strange it is to have consciousness, how amazing it is that we're even here having consciousness. Like, it is, it's the most, like, to me, that's a baseline, number one theorem, cool thing to always remind people of, which I think a lot of my work trying to gets back to. But I think, like, this is not, it was never meant to be, and I don't think it's being received as a play specifically for OCD people. It's a play for humans. And I think one of the ways to talk about, like, I'm like, yes, my brain is weird, but also brains are weird. And so that is something that everyone, no matter where they're from, like, that's like the most primal, you know, universal truth is that our brains are amazing, strange, fascinating, and very unknowable. And so it's just kind of a foray into discussing all of those things. It's great. I think it's a good backdrop for mental health because it's like, yeah, your brain is, there's so much going on. Like, no wonder there's some misfires. Yeah.
And I felt too, as I was listening and watching, that you drew us all in together to the experience that you were having, and I related to you, whether or not I've ever experienced OCD. I felt that I related to you in a general sense when you described, I guess what you might say is, when you described life as a collection of thoughts, you know, hurtling through time and space.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. Just supposed to be some universal stuff in that everyone can go. I mean, that's the thing. I think I say, what is it? We are collections of thoughts moving our bodies through time and space. And that's what we are. Like, that's literally what we are. So it's good to frame it like that because you're like, yeah. Like, I think I didn't write that. I think my friend told me that once or something. And I always remembered it because I was like, yeah, what a good way of framing what a strange ass world this is. Yeah.
Why do you think brain is so popular? I have the impression this is a very popular monologue and you're taking it on tour and it's been at a couple of fringes at least.
Yeah, it's going well. You know, better than I would have thought. I would have thought that it could have been conceived of and like, you know, because it deals with some kind of uncomfortable things I'm impressed because it talks about uncomfortable things, how willing people are to go there. So I think it says, yes, I think that I worked hard to make it relatable, but I also think that human beings, you know, if you give them a chance, if you say really uncomfortable things and you like, you know, ride with them in the right way, they can go with that, man. They are, you know, they can do everything from Trump to not Trump. They can go any which way. So, yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No. Thank you very much for coming to the show, though. I appreciate it. And thanks for doing this interview with me.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Brendan. It was a tremendous experience. I enjoyed it very much. It was very, very good.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Brendan McLeod is an author, musician, and slam poet. You can find him online at brendanmcleod.ca.
People First Radio is a community media project of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast partners. Listen to our podcast online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.